through his word and receive his message for us today. And I just want to talk today about a story that Jesus spoke about. It's the story of the two sons, the story of the lost son, the story of the father who welcomed back his son who was lost. And I just kind of want to read some of the words of this story to you. These are the words found in Luke chapter 15, the parable of the lost son. And just if you'd like to listen, to follow along with these words. So these are the words of Jesus, and it's Luke 15, and reading from verse 11. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole land, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired men have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate." May God bless the reading of his word to us this morning. This is a great story of Jesus when he's trying to illustrate a point. And we're going to have a look at this story this morning. And here we see a typical family situation, typical father situation, where the father is father of two sons. No mention of the mother, I'm sure she was there, but it's the father and the two sons. And the eldest son is a hard worker, he works with the father, he's involved and he's just plodding along. And the second son, the younger of the two brothers, decides, I don't want to be here anymore. I want my share of the inheritance. And so he asks the father, he says, you know, Dad, I would like my share of the estate. You know, I would like you to share with me what my portion. And so the father said, okay, here's your portion. And he gave him £100,000 or however the equivalent was in those days and said, here you are. Not long after that, the son decided, I'm out of here. And the Bible says he went to a distant land, and there he squandered his wealth in wild living. And so this young son disappears from his home. He decides it's greener on the other side. It's more fun. It's wilder. It's free. It's this great freedom, and I've got a lot of money, and I'm going to live life up. And how many people in our world do that? They decide, I'm just going to do my own thing. Just going to live life up, I'm going to party all the time. And what they don't realize is that they usually run out of something, either run out of money or run out of energy or hit some obstacle along the way. And so the younger son is away for a period of time. He's living it up, loving this new lifestyle. He's got a lot of money. And then the Bible says that he ran out of money. He began to be in want. And he was in a bad situation. And there was a great famine also in the land. So he began to be in great need. In fact, he was so desperate that he decided, I'm going to go and work on a farm. I'm going to feed the pigs. And so the Bible says that he began to feed the pigs. He began to just be a hired servant. Even though he was a son of his father, even though he'd had so many good things. Now he was in a position of being destitute. He was in a really bad situation. He longed to fill his stomach with the food of the pigs, but the Bible says nobody gave him anything. And you know, this is a reflection for many people today, is that, you know, they go out, they think that, you know, it's the world has got so much to offer. They go out there and they party it up, they live it up, and they sleep around, they spend all their money, they do all the things that the world says is going to satisfy. But at some point, these things run out, these resources run out. And that's exactly what happened with the younger son. And all his resources ran out. He began to be in great need. And he was just longing to fill his stomach just with some food, and nobody gave him anything. And it was a bad situation to be in. You know, the Bible says we all, like sheep, have gone astray, each to his own way. And that's exactly what had happened with the younger son. He had strayed from the fold. He had gone off thinking, you know, I'm going to make my fortune. I'm going to just live it up. But sadly, he's now in a very bad situation. I'm sure you can think of people like that yourselves. People maybe you went to school with, or maybe you used to work with, and today maybe they're alcoholics, or they're drug addicts, or they've got some life-controlling problem. They went out there to go and have a good time, but now they're actually bound to sin. They're bound to alcohol. They're bound to drugs, or they're bound to the things that just control their lives, and they're not free. They think they're free, but actually they're just waiting for the next drink or the next situation. But they're destitute. They're in tremendous need. And the Bible tells us that the young man was feeding the pigs. And it says he had a moment, really a light bulb moment, where the light came on and he just realized, you know, without God, without my father, you know, without all the resources that I could have had, look at me now. I'm just in a destitute situation. I'm just starving. I just need help. I just need encouragement. Well, why don't I just go back to my dad's house? And he just had a light bulb moment where he realized, I need to go home. And I'll just tell my dad, look, I'm not worthy to be your son. I'm not worthy to have that title. I'll be one of your servants, but at least I'll have food every day. And at least I'll have some consistency and I'll have a roof over my head. And so he decided... It's the Bible says he came to his senses, or he came to himself and realized, what am I doing out here? Why am I suffering like this? Let's go home, and at least, hopefully, my father will accept me as a servant. And so he made his way home. The Bible doesn't say how long it was, but it was a long journey. And he traveled home, and eventually, this is how the story reads. Even while he was a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. And the Bible says the father ran to the son and embraced him and loved him and kissed him. He was absolutely delighted that his son had come home. And he began to embrace his son. And the Bible says he put a ring on his finger. He put a robe on him, the best robe, and sandals on his feet. And then he said to the servants, let's celebrate, get the fatted calf, let's have a feast, let's celebrate, let's have a party, for this son who was dead, this son who was lost, is now found and is back in my household. What father would not be delighted to welcome his son back from such a situation? What mother would not be delighted to welcome their daughter or son back from such a situation where they had lost everything, where they were destitute, where they had to come home? They, of course, should embrace their son. And the father embraced him, said he was filled with compassion. And he ran to his son and welcomed him back into his family. The Bible goes on to say that the elder son was not happy about this. He heard the music, he heard the dancing, he heard the celebrating, he heard the feast that was going on. He said to the servants, what's going on? He said, oh, your brother's come home. He's like, what? Your brother's come home and your dad's organized a party. He's like, you're joking. No, your brother's home, and isn't it great? And the elder son obviously was not too impressed. He went to the father and they had a discussion. He said, look, I've worked for you all these years. You know, I've labored and toiled, and I've never taken very much at all. You haven't even given me a goat you know, to celebrate or to have a feast. You've given me nothing. And he began to grumble and complain that his brother was back. Isn't that typical of so many families, you know that these things go on in families. And so the eldest son was really, really gutted that this had happened. And the father said to the son, look, you're with me all the time. Everything I have is yours. You don't need to worry. You don't need to. We've never needed to celebrate because you've never been lost. You've never been far away. But, you know, now that your brother who was lost and he was far away, he's back home. And so we had to celebrate. And you know what, friends? I believe this is a picture of the love of God in our lives. This is a picture of how much God loves us when we've been far away, when we've been at a distant land, when we've been celebrating, when we've been partying, when we've been far away from God. And then suddenly we decide we're going to come back. We're going to be welcomed into the family of God. We're going to be welcomed in. And I just see that the arms of God reaching out to you today. I just see the arms of the Father reaching out to everybody today and saying, just come into my banqueting house. And I want to put my banner over you. My banner over you is love. I just want you to come into my house, into my family, into my kingdom. I just see that the arms of God reaching out to us today, saying, come into my family. I welcome you into my family. God is filled with compassion for you. Amen. He's filled with a deep love for you. And one of the greatest Bible verses we've ever known is John 3:16, which says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth on him might not perish, but might have everlasting life. God invites us in. He's got compassion. And he runs towards us. And the Bible says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were still far off in a distant land, in a land of partying, in a land that was destitute, God ran to us and welcomed us into his family. God welcomes us home through the love of God. He puts his arms around us. He kisses us. He welcomes us. And he says, come into my family. Come into the kingdom of God. And I will receive you and I will welcome you. This is what God's love is. Not that we loved him, but that he first loved us. And I think that is amazing today, that God pours out his love upon us. He pours out his grace upon us. He reaches out with his arms of love to say, come into the banqueting house. Come into the family of God. I will welcome you. The Bible says that to all who received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. So God is reaching out. Will we receive him as our Lord and Savior? Will we receive the compassion of the Father? Because he is pouring out his love upon us. He is pouring his grace upon us. Will we receive the love of God? And will we receive the grace of God? Let's think about this for a minute. Let's think about this illustration. Can you imagine having a relative, maybe a great aunt or a great uncle or a grandparent, and they just say, you know, I just want to bless my family member, and they decide to bless you. And, you know, you love cars, and they decide we're going to bless them with a really expensive car. And you've just got a little banger, you've just got a little something that you can get around it. They decide, you know, we're going to get you a top-of-the-range Ferrari. We're going to get you the most beautiful car. It's a 6-liter engine. It's got all the gadgets on it. And what's more, they say to you, don't worry about the fuel. Anytime you need fuel, here's a fuel card. You just go and fill up. You enjoy this car. What a blessing. You'd be just totally stunned to think that your dad or your uncle or your aunt would just buy such an amazing thing for you. Or maybe you're into houses and one of your relatives turned to you and said, do you know what, we're going to buy you a mansion. We know you're just in a flat at the moment. Maybe some of us have been there. We've lived in a flat, one-bedroom flat, or something really small. And they say, we want to buy you anything up to a 6-bedroom house. Just go on the market. Choose what you want. Could be 1 million, 2 million. It's okay. It's not a problem. And property maintenance is covered for the next 10 years. You're just thinking, I can't believe this. They're providing for me. They're giving me just my heart's desire. And so they're absolutely delighted. But and friends, I just want to say to you today, that God has given us something even more amazing than that. The Bible says that God has given us his very best. God has given us his very own son. That Jesus came down from heaven. He came from the glory of heaven. He came from the glories of heaven where he was worshipped. And the Bible says he came down to earth and he lived as a man. And he lived amongst us. And the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave us his son. And Jesus came into our world to show us a better way. Jesus came to show us how to get to the Father. Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth and I am the life. That no man gets to the Father except through me. It's incredible that Christianity is so exclusive. Jesus is not saying, look, there's 1,000 ways to get to God. He said, no man comes to the Father except through me. So you want to get to God? You want to get to the Father? You've got to go through the Son. And so Jesus came into our world. He came to show us a better way. He lived a life of love. He lived a life of power. He said, the works that I do, it's not me. It's the Father working through me. The miracles you see is the miracles of the Father. Because God was wanting to heal all the people. He's wanting to forgive all the sins of the people. And so eventually we see that Jesus is living this life of love. He's living this life of power. He said, you know, that God is love and he is the way. He's the way to go. He's the life. He's everything we need. And so eventually Jesus is saying, I'm going to go to the cross. I'm going to be crucified. And Jesus tells the disciples, I'm going to be crucified. They're like, what? We want you to set up a physical kingdom. We want you to be our deliverer. We want you to be our salvation. We want you to heal us and lead us into victory and overcome the Romans. But they got it all wrong. Is that the reason you see that Jesus came was he came to die. And he came to be crucified on a cross, on a cruel cross. And so they misunderstood him. And Peter at one point said, Jesus, you're not going to go to the cross. And what did Jesus say? Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. Because the devil was using Peter, saying, we don't want you going to the cross. We want you to be our king and our leader. We're going to worship you here on earth. God's ways are not our ways. God's plans are not our plans. We've got it all worked out. But friends, I promise you, God has got a better plan. He's got a better way for you. And the way that we think's right is not the way that God has planned. And so eventually we see Jesus is going to the cross. God has got a better way. He is, the Bible says, unless a kernel of wheat dies, it will not produce fruit. Unless you, the seed that you're going to put into the ground, unless that sunflower seed or that seed that you're planting dies first, it won't produce life. It won't come up as a new plant. It's got to die in the soil and then it comes back to life. And so this is exactly what Jesus decided to do. He said, look, I'm going to the cross. It was the most difficult decision of his life, to be crucified, to be beaten by the Romans, to be spat upon, to have a crown of thorns on his head. But there we see Jesus hanging between heaven and earth. There we see Jesus is being sacrificed for the sins of the world, for your sins and my sins. There we see Jesus is hanging on the cross. And he is taking the sin of the world. The Bible says that Jesus bore the sins of many. He bore the sins of the world. And he's been crucified for you and for me and the whole world. In fact, the Bible says God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance and that everybody would be saved. God wants heaven to be full of people. Amen. He wants you to be there. He wants you to celebrate with him and rejoice with him that he's provided the way into heaven. How do we get into heaven? It's through Jesus. It's through the sacrifice that Jesus hung on the cross. There he is hanging on the cross. He's taking your sin. He's taking my sin. He's taking the sin of the world. He's taking all our prejudice. Jesus is taking all our racism on the cross. He's taking all our pride. He's taking all our selfishness. He's taking all our sins. Everything that is wrong in our lives, Jesus is taking on the cross. Do you believe that today, friends? This is the truth of God's word. Christ bore our sins. In fact, it says he bore our iniquities. So that means he bore our twisted nature. We're all like twisted sticks. We're all Jacobs. We're all twisters. But when Christ comes in, when you receive him in, he changes your heart. And he makes you straight. He makes you clean. He makes you whole. And He gives you a new life. When you accept what God has done by putting His Son on the cross, and it was God's will to put Him there. Jesus had to die for the sins of the world. He had to die. It was better that one man would die than we all suffer for our sins. Jesus took your place on the cross. The Bible says He became the atonement for our sin. That is, He took your place, He appeased the wrath of God, and God poured out all the sin, all the wickedness, all the racism, all the hatred, all the ugliness of humanity. And we see Jesus bearing that sin, bearing our prejudices on the cross. And all we've got to do is say, Lord, forgive me. Come into my life and forgive me and cleanse my life and purify my life. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that He died for me, that He was crucified for me. And I believe that He has opened up, the Bible says, a new and living way so we can come into the presence of God every day and worship God. And thank God with a clean heart, with a clean conscience, with a clean mind, with a heart that's free from prejudice, with a heart that's free from hatred for the blacks, the whites, or every other color in between. A heart that is free from pain and free from suffering, because Jesus came to bring us freedom. And it's only Christ can heal our hearts. Only He can take away our prejudice. Only He can take away our hatred for other races. Jesus Himself was a Jew. And the Jews were hated by other people. Even today, they're hated by other races. It may be black against white, white against black, or any other race. But you know what the Bible says? That in heaven, there is every tribe, every tongue, every race. That is black, white, yellow, or whatever color you are, there are all of those people in heaven today. Because why? We're all made in the image of God. That's right. Every one of us are made in the image of God. Whatever color we are made in the image of God. We don't belong to the animal kingdom. We belong to the human race, made in the image and the likeness of God. And so Jesus is bearing our prejudices on the cross. He is showing us a better way. What is Jesus saying when He's on the cross? He says, Father, forgive them. What's He forgiving them for? He says, Father, forgive them because of what they did to me, how they punished me, how they beat me, how they spat on me, how they kicked me, how they reviled me, how I hung naked on the cross, how I took the shame of the world, how I was just hated. And He says, Father, forgive them. They don't even know what they're doing. Do you know, years ago in Northern Ireland, when I was living there, there was a man called Gordon Wilson. And during the troubles in Northern Ireland, it was a terrible time. I think it was in the 70s that Gordon Wilson said that, you know, his 70s or 80s, you know, when his daughter was on out there in Northern Ireland, and this bomb went off and it killed his daughter. And literally within hours, he said, I bear no grudge. I bear no ill against these people. I forgive them. And that went across the world. He said, I forgive those people. I forgive those people who did that to my daughter. It was an incredible reaction of forgiveness. And it reminds us of what Jesus said. Is there He is on the cross. He says, Father, forgive them. Because they don't know what they're doing. The Jews put Him on the cross. The Romans put Him on the cross. The hatred of humanity put Him on the cross. The Bible says the Jews were jealous of Jesus. They wanted rid of Him. They wanted Him crucified. They said, crucify Him. But Jesus said, I forgive them. Isn't that tremendous love? You know, we need to have that kind of love that Gordon Wilson had. You know, when we say, we forgive all people. We don't just need to tolerate other people. We need to love all races. Do you get the message today? We need to love everybody who's black and white, whether they're Chinese, Japanese, Siamese, it doesn't matter. We are to love everybody, whatever their race, because Jesus said this is the fulfillment of the law, is to love God and to love people. How can we say we love God if we don't love people? How can we say we love God whom we can't see if we don't love our brother who we can see? And it takes the grace of God. If somebody's from a different culture, if they live a different lifestyle, we've got to love everybody. We've got to love everyone in the human race. In fact, Jesus took it a step further and he said, you've actually got to love your enemies. Well, there's a challenge for us, isn't it? Do you love your enemies? Do you love those who hate you? Do you pray for those who persecute you? Do you ask God to forgive and to bless and to heal all those who revile you and hate you? And most of us have had enemies at some point in our lives, whether it's at school or in the workplace or our neighbors or whatever. Love your enemies. Maybe those who hate you, you know, those who hate our nation. We're to pray for them and bless them and pray that God will change their heart. And I finish on this story, which I shared on Tuesday night at our Bible study. And it was the great massacre in Zimbabwe of the Elim missionaries. And we are an Elim Pentecostal church. And we had missionaries out in the Vumba, in the eastern highlands of Zimbabwe. And they were slaughtered on the cricket pitch. They were axed down. They were killed. It was a really terrible, bloody mess what happened. And it was a terrible massacre of the missionaries who were bringing food and setting up schools and blessing the people. But they were just killed. And it brought a great cry from the Elim church, a great cry of prayer. And people began to pray for those terrorists, those people who had done that atrocity. And they began to pray. And I understand that every one of them became a Christian. Now that is a miracle of God. Every one of them became a Christian. Every one of those terrorists gave their heart to the Lord Jesus Christ and changed inside. And now they have a heart of love. And I understand that some of them went on to Bible school and into ministry. That's an incredible miracle of God. That is a miracle where God can change a heart. And friends, the heart of the problem is the problem of the human heart. It's not against color. The problem is we've got prejudices against everything. If it's not a black and white situation, it's black against black. If it's not a prejudice situation, it's white against white. It's tribe against tribe. There is just a need for a change in our hearts. And friends, only God can change your heart. If we're born with a twisted nature, if we're born with a sinful nature, the Bible says, for all have sinned. And David said in the Psalms, he says, in iniquity and in sin I was born. We don't have to teach a child how to sin. They know how to sin. They know how to do wrong. You teach them don't do wrong, they'll do wrong. So we need our nature to be changed. And the Bible says that God will give you a new nature. He'll give you a new heart. He'll change your heart of stone and make it into a heart of flesh. He'll give you a heart of love so you can love your enemies. You can pray for those who persecute you. You can bless those who curse you. So we pray for all those people. We bless them. And we don't curse our enemies. We don't curse those who are of a different culture or a different race of us. We bless them. We pray for them. We pray the Lord will just be with them and bless them and encourage them and change all of our hearts so that we can receive the love of God. Friends, love is the answer. That is loving God and loving one another. This is the fulfillment of the law, is to love everybody, is to love our neighbor just as much as we love ourselves. Do we love our neighbor just as much as we love ourselves? Probably not. But that's something to work towards. We should love everybody and pour out the love of God. Why should we hate? Why should we be prejudiced? These things hurt our own hearts. Let's be generous and let's share the love of God. And let's bless those who curse us. Let's pray for our enemies. Let's love our enemies. And let's see God bring a wonderful change in our world. Amen? Amen. Praise God. So let's just pray together and ask God to bless his word to our hearts. And then we're going to have communion together this morning. So I just want to give you a little bit of time to prepare. If you are a Christian, you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. We're going to take communion together. We're going to thank God for sending his son. We're going to thank God for sending Jesus into our world to die for us, to take our place on the cross, and to remember, as the Bible says, remember what I have done. Do this in remembrance of me. So we're going to take the bread today, representing the body of Jesus. We're going to take some juice or some wine, representing the blood of Jesus that was shed on the cross. Jesus took your place so that we don't have to suffer the wrath of God, so that we could go free and we could be blessed as people. And God wants to bless us today. So I want to just pray for you before we come to communion this morning. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you that the Lord Jesus himself was the very best gift that you gave, that he himself went to the cross. He was crucified for our sins. He bled and died. He gave his life for us. And he said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. So, Father, we want to thank you for Jesus' substitute on the cross, that he took our place, that we might go free, so that we might be forgiven. And so, Father, we thank you that we can believe in the Son of God, that we can have faith in the Son of God, that even though it happened over 2,000 years ago, we still believe that Jesus is the solution to our world, that Jesus is the answer to the human heart. So, Father, would you bless us this morning as we remember what Jesus did, that he died for us and he died for all humanity, that all may go free. We believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and he is coming back soon. So, Father, thank you for those who've listened today. And would you bless us now as we partake in communion in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, praise God. We're going to just thank God for that. And if you're at home or wherever you are this morning in your car,